Today's shiur is Masechta Bava, Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Tes. We will begin on Daf Chav Ches on the base, the last words of Amud. B'nei Chamur de Mar Okfa, the children of the son-in-law of Mar Okfa, Krivim min Esrach Okava. They were relatives to Mar Okfa because their sister was married to Mar Okfa. And then Mar Okfa's sister passed away, and they're not relatives anymore. Says the Gemara, Osl Kamei Ladine, they came to Mar Okfa with a din Torah. Amalhu, so Rav Mar Okfa said to the sons of his father-in-law, Pesinuch Ladina, I am disqualified to be a dayan in this case. Amalei, so they said to him, my datcha, why do you say this, Rav Yehuda? Because you're passing like Rav Yehuda that says that somebody who was a relative, even though they are no longer relatives, remain disqualified. However, they said, we've brought a letter from Eretz Yisrael that tells us, and the fact that we are now no longer related should be a reason why you could be able to be the dayan here. Amalhu, to which he said to them, am I attached to you with glue? I'm not attached to you with glue. I agree that I am no longer your relative. However, I did not say that I'm disqualified because of our relationship. Ella, the reason I'm disqualified, the concern that I have is because of our familiarity with each other, I know that you won't listen to what I say. That's why I'm disqualifying myself. So the question that the Mefarshim asked, so why did he use a wording that was misleading? He said, Pschina l'chaladina. The wording Pschina l'chaladina seems to indicate that there's a relationship, but that isn't the problem. So the Sayyidus Chuvash Yosef Emetz says that from here we say that a dayan who is concerned that the people who come to Medin Torah won't listen to what he has to say, it's not just that, okay, so don't get involved because they're not going to listen to what you say. It's much more than that. If they're not going to listen to what you say, then you are indeed disqualified to pass in the Torah, and you should remove yourself from this case because you're not the right person to pass in this Torah. We learned further in the Mishnah that somebody who is Oyavaya, who's your friend, is not allowed to say Eidus on your behalf. What is Oyavoy? Somebody who is Shushbinoy, somebody who's involved in your marriage. So the Gemara, Oyavzei Shushbinoy. So the question now is, what does that mean? For how long? For Kama? How long does that last? Says the Gemara, Amar of Abba, Amar of Yemi, Amar Rav, Kol Shivas Yimei Mishta. For the entire days of the Sheva Brachas, they're considered related, and the Oyavoy can't say Eidus. Rabbanu Mishmei the Rav Amri, Afilu Miyoyim Rishin Ve'elech. After the first day of the Sheva Brachas, that's the day that you're disqualified, but afterwards, you're kosher. The Yad Ramah, however, has a different interpretation of Agamar. He says, how many days is after, what type of an individual is a Shishbinoi? That's the Gemara's question. When do you fall into the category of being Shishbinoi? And what the Gemara says is that that's the Machloikus Rav and Rav and Rava. According to Rav, only an individual that was participating with you for 7 days is considered a Shishbinoi. And according to Rava, that if he only participated 1 day, is he disqualified? The Yad Ramah brings another pshat. He says that Rava is not explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rava is actually explaining the opinion of the Chachamim. And he's saying, according to the Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, even though they say that we're not so quick to disqualify, but says Rava, say to Rabbanim, the first day we agree that they're disqualified. We continue learning the Mishnah that a Sina, an enemy, is not allowed to say testimony. What is the definition of a Sinai? So Gemara said, "Asonai, an enemy is koshalai dibe my shloshi yam beiva. They didn't speak for each other for 3 days in out of enmity." Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says regarding somebody who kills somebody b'shoyig, and the pasuk says that he was an individual who v'loy oyev loy v'loy v'vakish rasa. They're not enemies. He didn't look at to hurt the person. V'huloy oyev loy, says the Gemara, when you're not an enemy, then yedenu, you can't say testimony. And when you're dying that doesn't look to do bad to this person, yedenu, you could be a dying. Says the Gemara Ashkan, so this pasuk speaks about a soine, about the soine's disqualification to be a dying or an aid. But ask the Gemara Oyev Minolan, where do we know that the same halacha applies to somebody who's your friend? Says the Gemara, Kribe Hachi, the way to understand the pasuk is v'hu loy oyev loy v'loy oyev loy. He's not a friend, nor is he an enemy. Then yidenu v'loy mevakish v'loy asoy yadinenu. But ask the Gemara v'loy mevakish v'loy tevasoy. Then yadinenu, he could be a dying. But ask the Gemara, isn't this difficult to understand? How do we insert this into the pasuk? Midei oyev ksiv, does the pasuk speak about a friend or enemy that we're able to say that's what the pasuk means? Elos farahu, says the Gemara, the reason why a oyev is disqualified is based on logic. Oyev maitama, what's the reason that the Torah disqualified an enemy? Mishum demarche gadate, they don't get along. Similarly, oyev nami, when we speak about a friend, Mekarvedati, he loves him too much, and he's not going to be impartial in judging him. Rabbanan, there are Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda that don't disqualify an oyev and a soiner. Highlight oyev loy v'leim avakish rasoi my darshbe. What do they explain this pasuk means to say? Says the Gemara that what it means to say chadla dayin. One pasuk is speaking about a dayin, that a dayin who's an enemy can't be a dayin. Idach, and the other part of the pasuk, Skritanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who v'hulay ayvlay v'lay mekakish rasei. Mekan l'shnei tamid chamim sheshanim zezeh. From here we learn that two tamid chamim that don't get along, shen yoshi beidin echad, we can't let them be dayonim in the same case. And the chinuch explains that whenever we have two people who are different personalities and think so differently, they may not be dayanim together, because the fact that they're so very different will prevent us from being able to do the din Torah properly. So the Mefarshim ask an obvious question. The Torah says, L'sisnas achicha b'lvavchi, not allowed to hate anybody. So how could we have a situation where they hate each other, where it's also to hate somebody? So one teretz that they suggest is that if somebody hit my son, or somebody did something terrible to me, I'm allowed to hate him temporarily. And that's the case the Mishnah is referring to when they don't get along. But the other pshat that they say is, like we just learned, that they can't be dayanim together. They can't be dayanim together if they're so different. So when the definition of oyev in our Mishnah is not to be understood as an enemy, but rather to be understood, people who have such different personalities have no right to paskin to be a dayanim together, because their totally different personalities will prevent them from being able to work together. Up to the point that I saw that Rav Yitzchak Silberstein Shlita in a Sefer Cheshukei Chemed speaks about a situation. We know that on Shabbos we're allowed to do whatever we need to do when it comes to Chil Shab, to Kuach Nefesh. If there's a situation of Kuach Nefesh, we do what we have to do. But even though there's a situation of Kuach Nefesh, we do what we have to do, we try to limit it to much as possible. That means if there are two hospitals where we have to take a patient, and one is closer than the other, the halacha tells us to take the person to the closer hospital. However, he discusses a situation where there are two hospitals, but in the hospital which is closer to the patient, there's an issue in that hospital that the doctors don't get along. And therefore, there's very weak collaboration amongst the doctors. And the other hospital, which is further away, and therefore involves more Chil Shabbos to get there, the doctors get along well. May you be Michal Shabbos to go to the hospital where the doctors get along. And he says, absolutely. He says that people, doctors, Rabbonim, as we're learning in our Gemara, but it's the same concept. Getting along and being able to consult with each other and respect each other's opinion is critical to the well-being of a patient. So continues the Mishnah. Even though, as we learned, and we're going to learn, of course, Eidim need to be cross-examined. But even though they have to be cross-examined, there are differences in the cross-examination of Eidim by Dine Mominus versus the cross-examination of Eidim by Dine Nefashis. And our Mishnah is speaking about Dine Mominus, and the Mishnah wants to understand, wants to teach us, Ketzet Boidkimus Eidim, what is the cross-examination of the Eidim? So says the Mishnah, Chayim Mechnisin Asoy Lecheder, they take him into a room in the Bezdin, Umayayimin Aleim, and they threaten them, they make them be concerned. So the Yad Ramah says that this halacha only applies when they come on their own volition to say testimony. But if they didn't say testimony, they were called to testimony, then the halacha would be different. And then Matzin is called Adam L'chutz. The halacha is that we take everybody else out. So from here we see, says the Retfaz, that when we do this, even when we do this activity of getting them nervous, we do this with a lot of people in the room because it's all for the same purpose, that they should be scared, that they should be embarrassed to say a lie. Of course, when the Mishnah says, "Umetzin kol adam l'chutz," explains the poskim, that's only the people who are not necessary to be in the room, but the two litigants have to be in the people who are being tried have to be in the room. That's the halacha that you can't say edus only in front of the baal din. So umeidin meshayin as a gol shbehen, and we leave the more important one because the purpose is that we now take the first aid first, and we don't want him, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, to hear what the other aid is saying, because we don't want them to, if there's any concern that they're lying, that they were hired to lie, they're going to listen to what the other one says and be able to use that against this person. Imamer, if he says, who amali sheni chayv loy, this person who is, there's a claim that he owes money, says that I owed him money, that is not considered a admission. Because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, sometimes people say this because they want, they don't want to be seen as wealthy people. So they say, we owe other people money when they truly do not owe other people money. If the aid says, ish plani amalei shechayv lei, or somebody told me that this person told me that I heard the loiva say he owes money. And the Mishnah says that Teres Yisrael uses the word ish plani. What does the Mishnah want to teach us with the word ish plani? Ish is always a title that this person is a distinguished individual. It doesn't make a difference. Loi amaklum, in all these cases, it's not considered as if he, that this is a valid testimony. Achyomer, when is the testimony considered a valid testimony? When he says, "Befaneinu hoydeloi," in front of us, the loiva admitted to the malva shuchayv loy masayim zuz, that he owes their money. So only in a case where the eidim are able to say that, and as we'll see in the Gemara, it's not just enough that he admitted, but also he said that you should be the eidim. Now says the Mishnah, Vakach machnisim masheni. Now we bring in the second witness, Ubayt ken oisai, and now we start to cross-examine him as well. Im nimtzu dvarim mechuvonim, if they're consistent with each other, so then noisav and noisav medover, that's when the dayanim begin to deliberate. But there's a wonderful story from the Gra. There was once a situation that where in the time of the Gra, where there was a din Torah, and they brought and the Malva was able to bring to Adam that indeed the Loiva owed him money, but the Loiva said that I am not guilty, and he went complaining to the Gra that there are two Adam that are falsely accusing me of something which is just not true. So the Gra said that bring the Adam to me, bring the Dintar to me, and let me hear. The two Adam came in front of the Gra, and as soon as the Gra heard their testimony, he said that they're disqualified. So they asked the Gra, why are they disqualified? So he says that I listened to the testimony, and the testimony that these two Adam offered was exactly consistent. They were saying word for word the same thing. He said that when we say Nimsu Dvrei Mechuvanim, it means only when this, where their message is the same. But in a situation like we're learning here, where the we just discussed where the words are exactly the same, that is an indication that they're actually lying and that they practiced to say the same testimony. And by practicing to say the same testimony, that's why they said the exact same words. So the Gra said, when the Mishnah says, Nimtzu Dvrei Mechuvanim, it's a very interesting explanation. On one hand, the story of the two Adam has to be consistent. But on the other hand, if what they're saying is exactly the same, then we can't trust them, because if what they're saying is exactly the same, then it's a proof that they are not saying, that they just were practice and said the same thing. Shnayim, continues the Mishnah. Now that we've heard the testimony of the Edom, and the Dayanim begin to deliberate. So Shnayim Amrim Zakei, two of the Dayanim say that he's exonerated. V'echer Oymer Chayiv, another one says Chayiv. So Zakei, because the Torah says, Acher Rabbim Lahatas, we go after the majority. And similarly, Shnayim Amrim Chayiv, if two of the Dayanim say Chayiv, V'echer Oymer Zakei, then he's Chayiv. What will be the halacha? V'echer Oymer Chayiv, V'echer Oymer Zakei. One dayan says that he's obligated to pay. One dayan says he doesn't. And v'afilu shnayim zakin, or shnayim chayvim, or even if you have two dayanim that say he does or doesn't have to pay, and one of the two dayanim says, eini yedeya, I don't know what to do. So the halacha here is yosifa dayanim. We have to add dayanim to the bezdin. And as we're going to learn, we have to add two dayanim to the bezdin. Even though it wouldn't have made a difference. Let's think about this. You had two dayanim that say he's chayiv, two dayanim that say he's zakai. So even if the third dayan would have said not like the two dayanim, as we just learned, we would have followed the majority. So why is there a need to bring more dayanim? The answer is the Torah has to begin with and end with three dayanim. When one dayan says, I don't know, the representation when the dayan says I don't know means that he doesn't count. So that means we only have two dayanim. And the din Torah is supposed to be conducted with three dayanim. That's why we have to add dayanim. And furthermore, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, that even though we don't begin a bezdin with an even number of dayanim, and here when we are left just with two dayanim who are expressing opinion, and we're going to add two dayanim, we're going to have an even number. But as long as the bezdin, the entire began with an odd number, it's fine. Continues the Mishnah. Gamra said Dover, when they finished the psak, Hay Machnis and I say they bring in the parties. Hagol Shabbat Dayanim, the most prestigious of the Dayanim, Aimer, Ish Plani Ato Zaka, Ish Plani Ato Chayiv, he's the one that offers the psak. And the Bach explains, it's specifically done this way, where it's always going to be the Golos Shabbat Dayanim making the announcement, because as we're going to be learning, we don't want the parties to know what happened during the deliberation. So if we always have the same person making the announcement, it doesn't tell us what happened and who held what. Taisus Yontov has a different approach. Taisus Yontov's approach is that the reason the Golos Shebe Dayanim is the one that makes the announcement is out of respect to the Golos Shebe Dayanim. Umanayim continues the Mishnah Chshiyetze. When Dayan leaves the Bezdin, Lo Yomer, he should not say, Ani Mazaka, I really held that you're innocent. However, V'chavreir Mechayvin, my colleagues disagreed. Avama Esen, what can I do, Shechavreir Rabba Alai, that they are the majority? Azan Nemar, the Pasuk says, Lo Seil Chorach Ba'mecha, and the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Hoylech Roil Rochel Megalasoid. So the Mepharshim ask that once we have a Pasuk that says, Lo Seil Chorachel, a pasuk from the Torah, why do we need the other pasuk, Kaila Rochel Megalasoid? So they explain, the Tosfos Yontov explains, that if we only had the pasuk, Leisalach Rochel Bamecha, it would only be in a case where Rechilus is done for the sake of Rechilus. And Rechilus that's done for the sake of Rechilus is obviously prohibited. But here, where he's trying to defend his honor, he's trying to show this party that I didn't want to hold you responsible, that isn't a violation of Leisel Chorachel Ba'amecha, but it is a violation of Hoyel Chorachel Megalasoid. But then he says that there are versions that don't have the Pasuk of Leisel Chorachel Ba'amecha, because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, in Mitzvah Shem and Daf Lamed Aleph, a Braisa that quotes both Pesukim. So he says a very interesting Vart. If the Mishnah already taught us to both Pesukim, why is it necessary for the Braisa to tell us both Pesukim? It must be that the Mishnah only had the Pasuk of Hoylech Rochel Megalasoid, and the Braisa also adds the Pasuk of Hoylech Rochel Ba'amecha. Ask the Gemara, Hey Chamrinalu. So the Gemara wants to know, we began the Mishnah by saying that we put the fear into the Edom. So ask the Gemara exactly how was that accomplished. Says the Ma'amar Yehuda, Hachamrinalu. This is what we say to them. Nesim V'rechem V'geshen Ayin, Ish mehala b'detz shaker. There won't be any panosop if the people who say false testimony. Amar Rava. So Rava says yochel meimalei. The person, the Edom could say to themselves, that really isn't something that scares us, because people say shev shani have a kafna. There were 7 years of hunger. Va'ababa mumelei cholov. And somebody who was destined to have panosop will have his panosa. So he says that we have nothing to worry about. Whatever is supposed to happen will happen. He says, the Mashal explains that where do we see this from? We see this from the story of Yaakov and his children in Mitzrayim, that even though there was a hunger in the world, but they had panosa, they ended up in Mitzrayim and they were taken care of. Because Vakadosh Baruch Hu says that you're going to have panosa, you're going to have panosa. Ela Marava, therefore Rava says, Amnir Lahu, what we say to them is Meitze V'chere V'chet Shonon, Ish Oina Bereya Eit Sheker. Because people say Sheker, there's going to be death and destruction in the world. Amar Rashi, to which Rav Achshe says, again, that won't frighten them. Because Yochel Meimahu, they could say, Shev Shonim have a Masna, there was a plague in the world, Vinish b'loy shnei loy shachiv. Somebody who wasn't supposed to die, nobody who wasn't supposed to die, died. And the Shas Maril, based on this Gemara, wants to say that if there's a time of danger in the world, is it appropriate to run away or not run away? And he wants to say, based on this Gemara, that maybe there's no reason to run away. Because the Gemara just said, whoever's supposed to suffer will suffer, and whoever's not supposed to suffer won't suffer. So there's no reason to run away. But the Maril then says that that's not true, and the Maril says there is a point in running away. Because the Gemara in Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Samech Amud Aleph, teaches us, Kivin Shnit Rishus L'Mashkes, Shuv Eina Mafchem V'Tzedek L'Rosha. Once the Tzoros begin, even if a person wasn't destined, it could happen to him. Ela Mervashi, so what do we say to them? People who say false testimony and were hired to say the false testimony, the people who hire them at the end despise them. The Ksiv, the Pasuk tells us, when Achav, the king of Israel, wanted to buy Novus HaYisraeli's field, and Novus did not want to send it to him. So the queen, as Izebel, Achav's wife, said he doesn't have to worry. And what he said was that she wrote, she brought the Shivishnaim and Nashab Nebeal, that she brought two people who were terrible people, for Yom Yagdiu Lamer, and they said regarding Novos, Lamer Brachta El Kim Vemelech, that you were treasonous against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and against the king, and therefore you're deserving of death. And not only are you deserving of death, but all of your property should be confiscated. And therefore, that's how, but she herself took these false witnesses. And what does she call these false witnesses? She calls them Bnei Bial. She herself had no respect for them. She knew who they were. We learned in the Mishnah, Im Amahu Amali, if the Adam say that the loiver said to me he owes money, it's meaningless. Until they say, unless they are able to say that the loiver was made in front of us, that he owes the money. Says the Gemara, what our Mishnah teaches us supports what Rabbi Yehuda taught us. Adim are only considered Adim if the loiver said to them, Atam Edai. He said to them that you are my Edom. And therefore, they're only considered Edom if they were so designated. It Benami says the Gemara, so did we learn. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba. Amar Rav Yochanan. Money li biyotcha. If somebody approaches somebody else and says, you owe me $100. Vamlei, and he says, hey, I do owe it to you. Vamachaloi. And the next day he says, Tanaili, give it to me. Vamar, and the person who just yesterday said, I owe you the money, says, what I said to you yesterday was Meshatanibach, it wasn't serious. Potter, he doesn't have to pay it. He could say that what I said is nothing. However, the Pesachim, the Rishonim, and the Achronim say he's going to have to make a Shvua. And there's going to have to be two parts, which is called a Shvua's Heses, and there are two parts to that Shvua. One part to the Shvua is that he doesn't truly owe him money. And the other part of the Shvua is going to have to say that what I said to you yesterday, Meshatani Bach, was just playing a game, it wasn't serious. Tainami Hachi. So do we learn a Brice Manali Biyotka? Somebody approaches somebody else and says, Yomi Mani Vamalai Hani, and says, yes. Lamacha Malai, and the next day he says, Tim Tanayuli, give me the money that you said you owe me. Vamalai, and he says, what I said yesterday to you was Meshatani Bach, was just joking, Potter. Vloyoid, Alfilu Hichmalai Eidem Achuria Geder. If the person who makes the claim hid Edom behind the wall, Vamalai, and again, he approaches him and he says, Manalei Biyotka, you owe me money. Vamalai, and he says to him, Hen, I do. And then he continues, says, Ritzayncha Shetayda Bifnei Plenty and Plenty. Are you prepared to admit to this in front of these individuals? And then he responds, and Amalai, Mesyarni Shemet Tekfeni Ladin, I'm concerned that if I will admit to you in front of these people, now you will have a good case to bring me to, you'll have a good case to bring me to Din Torah. And the next, and therefore, that's my reaction. And then the next day says, give me the money that you admitted you owe me. And he says, I was joking. The halacha is potter. And then the Braisa adds three words that we have to understand. And he says, V'ein ta'an and l'maisis. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. However, many Rishonim say that this claim that somebody could say Meshata Nibach is only in a case where you came to me with a claim. And if you came to me with a claim and I admitted to your claim and then I say Meshata Nibach, so that's an acceptable excuse. But if I came on my own and I said, Meshati Nibach, I said, I owe you money. And then afterwards you come to ask for the money, I admitted that I owe you. And then I say, Meshati Nibach, then that's not acceptable. Because who asked you to come and make that admission and then say, Meshati Nibach? So big machloikas Rishonim. From Rashi, it seems that you could only say Meshati Nibach if you were approached. From the Rambam, it seems that the Rambam doesn't make such a differentiation, and the Rambam says that you could always say Meshata Nibach, whether it was something that you initiated or was something that you were just and answering a claim to you. So as we just said, the Brice ended with the words "Ve'ein Tayanim L'Mesis." So ask the Gemara, "Mesis Man D'Chashimei." What does Mesis have to do with what we're learning here? Answer the Gemara, "Chsur Mechsvik Tani." Im Loitan, if the person who the claim is being made against him doesn't say it, "Damishat Anibach Ein Tayanim Loi." But says the Gemara, "Bedin Nefashis." But when somebody's on trial for a capital case, Avgav the Loitan, even though he didn't make a claim to defend, that could defend him, Tayanim Loi. But, says the Gemara, there's one exception to that. Vein Tayanim L'Mesis. If the person is being accused that he was a Mesis, that he was trying to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah, even though it's a Din in the Fashis, we don't try to defend him. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Mesis, why is Mesis different? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama Bar Chinanam, Pirkei Rav Chiya Bar Abba Shmili. I heard this in the drasha that Rav Chiya Bar Abba gave. Shani Mesis, when we speak about a Mesis, it's all different. Rachmanama, the Torah says, "Leisachma v'leisachasalov." We don't have rachmanus on a mesis. Amar of Shmuel, we don't have any rachmanus on a mesis. So ask the Gemara. Amar of Shmuel ben Nachman, Amar of Yonason, Menayin shein tana lemesis. Where do we know this from? Says the Gemara, we know it from Nachash Hakadmoni, from the story of the Nachash and Chava. Damer Reb Smoloi, habitanus hayolay Nachash l'toin. The Nachash could have defended himself for loitan, and he didn't. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not try to help him? Because he didn't say it himself, and because, of course, we know that he was a Mesis, he was the one that tried to convince Chava to do the Avera, then we don't try to defend him. And explain the Rishonim. But we said that when don't we do Toin by a Mesis, where somebody's trying to convince somebody to do Avodah Zarah? Where was that Avodah Zarah in that Avera? Because what did the Nachash say to Chava? V'yisim kelokim. So that was trying to convince her to do Avera Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says that the Nachash could have had a claim, but he didn't. But he didn't offer it, and we didn't try to offer it for him. My havelamema. So ask the Gemara, what could have the Nachash possibly said? He could have said divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishaimim. If it's the Rav says something and the Talmud says something, then who do we listen? Divrei Rav Shaimim. So Chava should not have listened to me, and therefore it's Chava's problem. It was Chava's problem, not my problem. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a Chizkiya. So continues the Gemara. Menayin shekol Meisav Gareya. How do we know that if somebody does more than he's supposed to, it's actually counterproductive? Shenemar, the Adam Harishon said to Chava, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas and don't touch it. And that was wrong. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu only told Adam, don't eat from it. And she, it wasn't told don't touch. But Adam told her don't touch. And then the Nachash made a touch, and when she touched, nothing happened. So Nachash said to Chava, you see, nothing will happen, and that caused her ultimately to eat. So of course the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. We know that Shas is replete with Gedarim. Shas is replete with situations where we make Zeris and Gedarim on things that are really mutter, but Chazal said are osur. And here, when Adam Rishon made a gedder, it caused all this problem. So the Bnei Menachem explains two very important points. It's important to know what is the basic halacha and what is the gedder. And here, that wasn't articulated by Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon, as the pasuk just we read, learned, didn't differentiate between what is the gedder part and what is the halacha part. And that caused the problem. Another point that he makes is that the gedder has to be a gedder that people could follow. If it's too difficult to follow, then it shouldn't be established. And this was a gedder that Chava couldn't keep. Adam Marishan should not have established. So the Rebbe Rabbunim explains what was the conversation between the Nachash and Chava. The Nachash said, eat from the Eitz Hadas, and once you'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, you'll have a Yetzer Hara, and you'll be able to grow in your Avodas Hashem, that you have a Yetzer Hara, and then you'll prevail over the Yetzer Hara. So that's a very strong argument. So he says, why was that not considered a good reason that they should eat from the Eitz Hadas? That they should have a Yetzer Hara and then be able to work on overcoming the Yetzer Hara. So he explains that that goal that you want to have to be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara, you could have accomplished here too. You know how you accomplished it? By saying no to the Nachash. You don't have to look for new opportunities to, you don't have to look for new opportunities how to overcome the Yetzer Hara. You just should not do what you're not supposed to do. Rabbi Shar Shammah Hocha, again, we're trying to prove how do we know the Kol HaMois of Gereya. The Torah says, when it speaks about the dimensions of the Oren, it says, I'm a sign of a chetzi arkai. And if somebody is going to write the word Amasayim without the Aleph in front of it, we'll read it Masayim, that will mean 200. So somebody who writes an extra letter could ruin it all. Rav Asher Amar, the Pasuk speaks about the number of curtains that there were in the Mishkan. And it says, Ashtar Asa Yirios. These are the covering of the Mishkan. And we take out the Ayin by saying Ayin, so it's 11. If somebody's going to take away the word, take away the letter Ayin from Ashtay, it'll be 12. It will be Shtemesrei. So somebody who puts an extra word takes down from what it is. Instead of being 12, it's 11. Instead of being a 200, it's 2. By Amasayim. Says the Gemara, we continue. Amar Abaya, Loi Shana the Amar Mishata Nibach. When is the person against whom the claim is made able to get away with it? When he says, Meshata Nibach. Aval Omar, if he says, Loi Hayu Dvar Moilam, he just claims that the conversation that you claim that happened never happened, the Allah is, then he's a kafrin, then he's just a liar. And when a person is just a liar, then he can't be trusted. This, just because he says it never happened doesn't completely disqualify him. Because according to what he believes, what he said was totally meaningless. And something which is totally meaningless, people don't remember. And that's why he could say, the reason I said, even though it did happen, then the halacha is he's saying it because it was meaningless to him, the entire discussion. Says the Marhuda Achman Lay Edom L'Chavri B'Kilsay. There was somebody who hid Edom under the canopy on top of the bed. Amalei, and he said to his other person, Money Lay Biotcha, you owe me money. Vamalei Chavere, and the other Vamalei, and he said, Hey, I owe. Amalei, Edi Vishchevi L'Havalach Sadi. He says, could everybody who hears this be Edom? Whether they're up or they're sleeping. Amalei, to which he said loy. Says the Gemara, Amalei, so he very clearly said loy. And because he very clearly said loy, then they can't serve as Edom. Says the Gemara, and he could say, even though I admitted, my entire admission was only just Meshata Nibach. But what we do learn from here, the Paiskim discuss, the Paiskim say that the reason why they're not considered valid Edom, because this person clearly indicated, Loi, I don't want them to be Edom. What would be if he would have said, okay, they could be Edom, but they were under the awning. They didn't exactly see what he was doing. From here we see that we could rely on Tfias Aina the Kola, that we could rely on people recognizing the voice. It's a very big discussion in the Paiskim. The Tzois actually holds that we cannot rely on Tfias Aina the Kola to incriminate somebody. Says the Gemara further, who the Achman Eidim B'Kivra B'Chavri, somebody who hid witnesses in a kever, Amarlay, and he said to his other person, Manali Biyotka, you owe me money, Vamalei, and he admits, hey, that I do owe you the money. And then he said, Chayim Meis L'Havalach Sadi, here we are in a cemetery, and he says, all the people who are in the cemetery should be Edom. Vamalei loy. Amar Shimon hamalei loy. And he therefore could say afterwards, Meshata anibach. Amar Avina, Vitemra papa. Shmami namaha. Based on the episodes that we just have learned, the Hodam Rav Yehuda Merav, Tzarech Shema Atam Eder, when they have to be designated, Loi Shnaki Am Loiva, it doesn't make a difference if the Loiva appoints them to be Edim, Loi Shnaki Am Malva, or if the Malva appoints them the Shasuk Loiva, and the Loiva agrees, the Loiva just remains silent. Because let's understand what we just learned. Tama, it's only in these cases, because the loiva said, loy, I am not willing to accept that they should be my edim. Avali shasik, if he would have just remained silent, even though he did not officially appoint them to be edim, it was the malva that appointed them, then still they're going to be considered edim. But the Beis Yosef says, yes, the malva could appoint edim, and they're going to be considered edim only even if the loiva didn't appoint them, but only if he said it in a very clear way. If he says, for example, says the Beis Yosef, are you okay that if the people who heard our conversation could come and say Edis, that would be inadequate? The Shach disagrees. He says that even if the Edim were appointed in this not so clear fashion, they're still going to be considered Edim. There was an individual that people used to call him Kav Roshu. He has a whole pack of documents that he owed money. Omar, and then that person said, Ma Masigbei, I don't owe anybody money. Ella plenty of plenty. I only owe those people money. Osu, so those two people that he agreed he owes money to, Osu Vatavala Dinal Kamei, they called him to the entire in front of Rav Nachman. Omar Rav Nachman. People have a tendency that they want people not to believe that he's wealthy. So what does he do to show that he's not wealthy? He says that I said I owe money, so I shouldn't. The people should think I don't have money. And the Rosh says, a very bechidish, he says that not only could a person make this claim, but as we said earlier in our shir, Beis Din does not offer the claim of Meshata Nibach on behalf of somebody if he doesn't say it himself. But in a case where there's a concern that Adam also Lashbias Atzmai, that people shouldn't think he's rich, not only is that a good claim, it's such a good claim that a person Beis Din offers it on behalf of the Baal Din. Hudava Karle Ga'achbar de Shachva Dinri. Everybody said that he's a very wealthy person and he has a lot of money, but he just doesn't spend it. Kikashachov, when he passed away, Omar, he said, "Plan your planning maski bezuzi. These people I owe money." Bossed the Shachov, and now he passed away. Osva Tavinul Yarshim. They came and they asked the Yarshim for the money that he admitted he owned. Also Kamed Reb Shmuel b'Yosef, and they came to Reb Shmuel b'Yosef to ask Amlu. So he said, "Ki aminin, maybe when we say this concept of Adam also shloi lesbias atzmai hanimil mechayim, that people should not think I'm wealthy. Avalacha misa, but after somebody is not here anymore, so there's no concern of Adam lesbias atzmai. It must be the truth. Or parapalga, and they paid. If that was the psak, the yorshim carried out the psak and paid up half the money that there was a claim against them." Then the Vinaladina led the Palga. They wanted to extract from the Yarshim the other half. And they came to Rav Chiya, Amalu, that's not true. Kishem Shadam Osiloy Lesbia Atzmai. A person when he's alive sometimes says he owes money just that people shouldn't think that he's wealthy. Kach Adam Osiloy Lesbia Zbanov. Sometimes a person's going to make that type of a claim because he doesn't want his children to think they're wealthy. And therefore, they don't own the money. Amalei. So now they asked, the half that we already paid, Nazel and Heder, do we have a right to collect that money back? To which they were said, Kvar Horizokin, that once the psak was given, then the halach is, and since Rabbi Shmuel was a dying mumcha, and it was a mistake, b'shikul adas, that's the mistake that the psak remains. We learned continues the Gemara. Hayde b'fnei shnayim. If somebody admitted in front of two people that he owes money, the kana miyadai, and they made a kinyan on that admission, not only is that considered a valid admission, obviously, but kaisvim, they could record it in a shtar. Mimlav, but if there was now kinyan and kaisvim, even though it's a valid admission, it can't be recorded in a shtar. B'fnei shloisha, but if the admission was made in front of three people, v'loy kana miyadai, and there was no kinyan, rav amar kaisvim, that even such a situation, even though there was no kinyan, but it was in front of a bezdin, it was in front of three people, then we write it. Ravami Amar in Kaisim. Ravami says that we don't write it. Hava Uvda, says the Gemara, there was once such a situation that came in front of Rav, the Chashlei Lahadar of Asi, and he said that it should not be recorded. Amar Ravada Bar Hava, Ha Adisa, if there's a document that says that somebody admitted in front of people, and there was no kinyan, Zimnan Kesvinan, sometimes it may be recorded without the express permission of the loiva, lezemnan like asfiran, and sometimes it may not. And the Gemara explains, kantfi viyasvi, if the bezdin was sitting in session anyway, and this person admitted to them like asfiran, but if he deliberately went kantfinan in iu, he gathered together these three individuals to form a bezdin, and he admitted in front of the bezdin that he owes the money, that even though he didn't give the instruction that it should be recorded, kasvinan, it's recorded. Rav Amafilu kanfi inu, even if he convened them, like kasvinan, we don't just record it, ad amala havalei dayonim, that he expressly appoints them to be dayonim. Mabar Ravashi Omar havalei dayonim, if the loiva said to them, have dayonim like kasvinan, ad the kaviduchti, they also have to establish a place where they're getting together. The Shalchu Mazan Lebedina, and they have in a whole official Bezdin session, because that gives the proper person, that gives the proper publicity, and they can write it. Hoidim Matatli, if somebody admits in front of Edom that this Matatli that he has in his possession belongs to somebody else, the Konami Yodai, and there was a Kinyan on that admission, Kaisvim, they write it, they record it. Vimlav, but if there was no Kinyan, and Kaisvim. However, if somebody admits on a piece of property that he's on that it belongs to someone else, even though there was like the Mar wants to know Bakaki like Karamiyad Mai, on my mama, and Kaisvin, that we don't write unless there was a Kenyan. Mazetra, I'm a Kaisvin, even if there was no Kenyan. Vilksa Kaisvin. Because by property, when we speak about Matantlin, so if I admit that the Matantlin that I'm holding belonged to you, you still have to come and collect it. And therefore, until you actually collect it, nothing happened. And therefore, we can't just record it. By karka, there's no giving of karka. Karka, real estate is where it is. And therefore, as soon as there's an admission that I owe it to you, it becomes yours based on my admission, and therefore it can be recorded. Ravina Ikla Maharya. Ravina came to a place called Daharya. Amalei Rav Dimi Baruchuma Medaharya Ravina. Matatlav Istamanayu. What's going to be a look if I admit Matatlin? And I have them, and I can give them right over. Amalei, kamakarka dami, they're considered like karka because it's very easy to hand them over. Rav Asher, amakivin de mechasri gavaina. Yes, they're here, and they're very easy to give over, but they weren't yet given over. And therefore, loy, it's not written without express permission or kinyan. Says Mahir Desa, there was a document that says that I admitted I owe somebody money, and there were two Adam signed in it. But in the language of this document, there's no wording that I expressly gave permission that it should be written. Abai Rav Damer Tavayu, Hainu Rish Lakish. This is what Rish Lakish taught us. Damer Rish Lakish, Chazaka Eda Adam Chayusim El Shtar, Elm Kei Nasa Godel. There's a Gemara that we learned that if somebody inherits money from his father and he's not 20 years old, he may not sell off that property. So the question is, when we see such a document that somebody sold something, need we be concerned that the person who sold it was under 20? So Rav Shlaka says that we have a chazaka, that we see a document, we can be confident that it was done properly. Here too, that the even though it doesn't have in the document the statement that we were told that we could write it, we could be confident that it was written properly. Maskula Rapap Vitamura Rafuna Bered of Shur, Mika Mida Danan Lo Yudinan. Is there something that we, the Dayanim, are not such know this? Not everybody knows the halacha that you can't write the document unless there was expressed permission, unless there was a kinyan, and the Safi, the people who write the shtaras do, says the Gemara. So Shalina the Safi the Baya. So how can we be confident that the people who wrote the shtar knew this halacha? But says the Gemara, Shanun Lusifra the Baya. They asked the people who wrote shtaras in the Bezner of Abaya, the Yadi, and they knew this halacha, that only under the right circumstances can the shtar be written. The Safri, the Rava, and so too the people who wrote shtaras in the Bezner of Rava, the Yadi, and that's a proof that they do know this halacha, and therefore if we see a shtar written, we can be confident that it was done properly.